And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night on the West Coast till 10 p.m., on the East Coast till 1 a.m., and our number is 855-507-445, and with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and we've been talking with Dean about Dr. Phil, and this unfortunate tweet that he sent out today, Dean, having to do with... I guess you could call it a controversial tweet. That was what it was described as, at least in one of the news stories. And there were quite a few people that responded to it in sarcastic, humorous, or angry ways. One of them, Rob Delaney, who's a stand-up comic, Andy Levy.
I'm familiar with all of those people, as I know you are, Phil, and the first thing that's going to come out of the mouth of a Rob Delaney or an Andy Levy is something that's going to be self-servingly, whimsical, I suppose, in their mind. But I don't have anything against those two gentlemen. But I really, really have to protest at the knee-jerk reaction to Dr. Phil, and I think that he hasn't been given the benefit of the doubt. I think that this is a man that has helped an awful lot of people.
Let me get back to the tweet itself for people that missed what it is we're talking about. Dr. Phil tweeted this today. I'm putting on me reading glasses. And Twitter people just were all over him. He asked the question, if a girl is drunk, is it okay to have sex with her? Answer yes or no, please. Dr. Phil, if a girl is drunk, is it okay to have sex with her? Reply yes or no to Dr. Phil. And Andy Levy responded, are you asking for a friend? And Rob Delaney with, aren't you married?
That's what those people are going to do. They have careers to promote, and they will promote them at the expense of another man's reputation.
But that's what they do for a living, as you said. And what I want to get to the heart and soul here of this discussion is not so much how stand-up comics or humorists or whoever responded to this, but is it, what kind of a tweet is that? What kind of a thing is that to say for a man like Dr. Phil, who has the faith and trust of so many?
Well, I don't think there is, as I said, Phil, Dr. Phil McGraw has been a man that I would say the majority of people and very prominent people have trusted and have believed is working from a good professional base. I don't think you automatically assume that makes him God, and I think that we all have to be adults. If Dr. Phil, in a relationship with the people that watch him on television, in a relationship with the people that he has talked to and has helped over the years, if he says to them, I have a question now. I have something that I'd like to know the answer to. This is a symbiotic relationship. This is a two-way street. This is me giving you advice, and I understand that I cannot be. And again, I guess I'm putting words into Dr. Phil's mouth.
So you're saying that he is asking this question in the spirit of, I give you advice, and sometimes you give me advice.
Well, I think so. I think, to put it simply, yes. I think what's going on here, very, very simply, is a question he's asking to show the people that have watched him and have listened to him and have purchased his books and so forth, I'm a human too, and I have questions, and I have confusions. And look at Phil. The reason why I wanted to sound off on this is because I think Dr. Phil has helped me a great deal. I've taken his advice. I have spoken to him directly on a number of occasions.
Whereabouts?
Well, just on the phone and through people that we know, mutual acquaintances. I asked him about a number of things having to do with my life, marriage, and so forth. And I think he's done nothing but great work. And so if he asks an honest question and we respond to his question with insult and with insult and with innuendo and inference, I think we're doing a great, great disservice.
All right, we're talking here with Dean Wheeler from Northern California Holistic Center about Dr. Phil McGraw and a tweet that went out today on his Twitter, Dr. Phil McGraw's Twitter account, which was, is it okay if a girl is drunk, is it okay to have sex with her? Reply yes or no to Dr. Phil. If a girl is drunk, is it okay to have sex with her? Number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Now, I want to ask you this. What kind of a question is that for a doctor of Dr. Phil McGraw's, at least, reputation? What kind of a question is that for him to ask?
In what sense?
Well, in the sense that he would need advice.
Well, I'm not saying that this is a question where he's saying, I need advice because I'm about to engage in this activity. He's a married man. So I would assume he's asking this question because, in general terms, he wants to know what people think. What people think, because I think he has himself. I think he may have this question come up in his practice. He may have this question come up when it comes to young sons that he may have. I don't know the actual family makeup of Dr. Phil, but he may have nephews, he may have sons, he may have grandsons. And so that, it's a question they may ask him. It may come up in his practice, as I said. And I don't know what is going on with his marriage. And I don't know, I would be loath to think that Dr. Phil is, or he and his wife have an open marriage. I doubt seriously that's the case, but whatever it may be, if it's an honestly asked question.
Yeah, but I'm asking this. If, let's say, all of those things are true, why wouldn't he already know the answer to that?
Well, I think we have a tendency to make him into a god. I think we've done this with all of the psychologists that we've listened to on the radio as Americans. We've done this with I can go back all the way back to, back into ancient history almost to the days of Tony Grant, you know, when we didn't even know what a radio psychologist was. The whole idea of it was a little embarrassing and going on the radio and talking about your problems like that. But since that time, since those early dark days, we've had Tony Grand, and we've had Barbara DeAngelis, and we've had David Viscott, and Laura Schlesinger, and now we have, of course, Dr. Phil. And I think it's a question that, you know, we tend to
See, my question is the following. Why wouldn't he know the answer to that?
Because I think, Phil, that they don't have all the answers. And I think that psychologists, we have a tendency to deify them and to make them into people that are godlike. And I don't think they're godlike. I think the way a lot of people think. I think they're just people. And as people, they don't have all the answers. And I think this is a very honest place that he's coming from, and he's asking us, hey, will you guys help me with this? Because I'd like to know what the answer is.
All right, Dean Wheeler joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Phil McGraw, as he tweeted out today on Twitter, the following question, which was, is it okay to have sex with a girl that is drunk? Is it okay to have sex with a girl that is drunk? And, reply yes or no at Dr. Phil. It seemed like a pretty weird question for a guy like Dr. Phil to ask, and he took no end of crap for it on Twitter. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll get back to Dean Wheeler on number 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show coming right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show at 855-500-7445, talking here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center here about the tweet from Dr. Phil McGraw, whereby he was asking the question, is it okay to have sex with a girl that is drunk? And we're talking with him about the propriety of this. Dean is a big supporter of the good doctors. He is a big supporter of Dr. McGraw's, not only his television program, but his books and his tapes and his discs and everything else. Because you've had personal experience with how helpful the man is. Here's my other question for you, Dean. It's really a simple question, and it has more to do with the question itself, and that is, why would that take a psychologist? Why would that take a professional for the average man to go to answer?
Well, say that again, Phil, because...
Why would a man even need professional assistance in answering a question like that?
I don't know the answer to that from your standpoint. I suppose what you're telling me is you have an automatic answer for that.
I do, yes.
Well, would you mind telling us?
It would be a no.
It would be a no. What if she said, yes, didn't you...
Look, I think that if we're talking about a girl that you just are taken out on a date, and it's the first time you've been with her, and this is your first contact with her, and you don't know each other, and you don't live with her, and, you know...
Well, okay, so look, see, all of a sudden you're putting all kinds of provisos on it.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that as a rule, it's not a good idea.
All right, I heard you... Well, do you mind me bringing up something, Phil, that you talked about on your show once?
I talked about on my show.
Yes, you said that with your ex-wife, you and she both had been drinking, and you mentioned a spell of lovemaking.
All right, I would rather you not. I tell you what, if it's something out of my own life, I'd like to talk about it myself.
Well, that's fine, but I think you answered in the affirmative.
Okay, that's someone that you're married to. That's somebody who you know. That's someone who you're familiar with. That's someone who, and I think I said I was in similar shape, right?
Yes, you did.
I think that I'm going to make a leap of faith here and say that Dr. McGraw is talking about a woman that you just met or that you're out on a date with for the first time and that you are looking to be the perfect gentleman around. I don't know how many guys know what that means, but, you know.
What does that mean? You don't know how many guys know what that means. See, I think that bespeaks a bit of a negative opinion about your fellow males.
No, it doesn't bespeak a negative. I just know what guys, I know what some guys have done, you know, and I know how stupid some guys are, and I know how some guys are always looking for an excuse to basically sexually assault a woman, and then they say later on it's their fault. Look, there are guys out there in our world that are, mentally they're rapists, and they will come up with any excuse they can to have sex with a woman, even if it's against her will.
What does that mean, that they're rapists? I mean,
That's reality, man. That's reality.
Well, all right. I don't live in that reality, Phil. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, okay?
I'm trying to give the benefit. Well, all I'm saying is, all right, so we're talking here with Dean Wheeler.
Well, don't, please don't stop and then talk to the audience like I'm a four-year-old and, okay, let me just hold on for a minute, Junior. And
I'm not saying you're a four-year-old. I got to tell the audience where we're at and who we are.
All right, but please don't pretend like I'm not here, okay? That's all I'm asking.
I promise you I won't. I'm not trying to do that, Dean. I'm sorry. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. And we're talking about a tweet that Dr. Phil McGraw sent today on Twitter, or tweeted, or sent out. I don't know. Our social, we don't really have a social media director here on the show. Who's the closest one?
Well, Bud and I always talk about it, and Margaret's probably better.
Well, yes, I'm probably better at talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I would say that when you tweet it out, or you push it out. You push it out.
Yeah, but why are you doing that with him?
Yeah, you're moving your hips.
I'm moving my hips as...
Well, you were moving your hips.
I was moving my hips because the instinct when you tweet something out, it's almost as if you are thrusting. Yes. Don't read anything into it, please.
Well, I'm just trying to say.
I don't know about the thrusting of the hips, Phil, but I think tweet it out is fine. I don't know that you want to get bogged down.
Yeah, you're right. I don't. But today it was Dr. Phil tweeting out the tweet that was the following tweet. It was, is it okay to have sex with a girl if she's drunk? Please respond to Dr. Phil. Now, I've given you my opinion, and my opinion as a rule is no, because I believe that he's talking about a date. I don't think he's talking about a marriage. I don't think he's talking about a relationship. I believe that I have to believe he's talking about a date here. Would you agree with that, Dean?
I don't know. What I'm saying, Phil, is this. I think that Dr. Phil is expected to be God. I think we expect these psychologists to be godlike. I think we expect them to be some sorts of oracles, such as the ancient Oracle of Delphi, where people went and got information from them to live their lives. And I don't think that that's what psychologists are. And I think that what's wrong with him asking an honest question?
All right, so in other words, he doesn't know the answer to that, and he's looking to get some information.
I think so. And what's happened is because he has shown vulnerability and because he has shown a tendency to have a real question about something, what's happened is people are mocking him, and they are making fun of him, and they're, I just think it is childish. I think it bespeaks something in our culture that is very, very wrong.
All right. Our number, 855-500-7445. You know, Dean, one would expect, I would expect, and I'll just speak for myself, I would expect that a psychologist, a behaviorist, whatever Dr. Phil is, I don't even know what his what is his specialty.
I think he's a psychologist, yes.
Well, he's a psychologist. I think he's an internist. I really think he's a medical doctor.
Yeah, he's a medical. He's a psychologist, but a medical.
Well, what does that mean, he's a psychologist, but a medical?
He has a degree in both.
Well, I don't think he, no.
He's only an internist?
I think he's only an internist who, like Dr. Laura, is good at doing a psychology kind of thing, is my question, or is my comment, at least.
All right, so in any event, the tweet was, is it okay to have sex with a girl who is drunk, reply to Dr. Phil. Now, my response has been, I don't think that it is. I think that she is, again, if she's a woman that you're just out on a date with, I think it's wrong. Now, I got an answer to that. Dr. Phil, he doesn't know, according to you. He's looking for an answer as a quid pro quo with his audience. I find that to be a little odd because as a doctor...
Well, hold on for a minute. I just said he's an internist. If he's an internist and his specialty is internal, internal medicine, that means what's wrong with you in the internal, with your organs, okay?
Oh, no, I understand. So that would make more sense.
Exactly.
But there again, we have, why is this guy playing psychologist then?
He's not playing psychologist, Phil. He is a doctor who has been, did you ever see or read the books, really? The television show wasn't as good. Did you ever read Ben Casey books, or the doctor, I think it might have been Dr. Kildare?
No, sir, I did not.
Well, in those books, it was a doctor, a very young doctor, who was familiar with the problems of his patients, and he went beyond the internal medicine that he practiced and went to the very heart of being a doctor, you see, and so of being a person. And I think that's what Dr. Phil is doing. I think he's just being a friend, and sometimes friends don't have all the answers, and sometimes friends need answers from us as their friends.
What advice would you give him?
Yeah, you said you talked to him.
Yes, I did talk to him.
He gave you advice. So what advice would you respond to him with?
Well, I would, if he asked me, is it all right to have sex with a girl that is drunk? I think that the answer to that is that if he's asking, I trust his instincts. If he's asking, that means he must have been in that situation. And if he is desirous, I would have to say it's okay in his case. I think it's case by case.
It's okay for Dr. Phil to have sex with a drunk female?
Yes, I think so, because I would trust him. I think that he is trustworthy. I think Dr. Phil, if a woman is not unconscious, but if she is inebriated or drunk or laying in a state that one would consider to be, inebriated, and Dr. Phil was going to have sex with her, I would say it's okay for Dr. Phil because, again, I trust him. Now, if you were to ask me if it was a different individual, if it was a person that I didn't have a very high regard for, I'd say no.
But, you see, here's the problem that I'm having, and maybe some of maybe, Margaret, you're anticipating.
Yes, well, the question here, Dean, is why would he be in that situation?
Well, yeah, why would Dr. Phil be standing there with a drunk girl laying on bed, you know?
Well, Phil, are you telling me that Dr. Phil can't go out on a date and a girl has too much to drink and she may be laying sick and he's wondering? I would say...
If that was your daughter...
If it was my daughter, I would say if it was Dr. Phil, I'd say you go ahead and enjoy yourself. I would say, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Dean Wheeler with us here, Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, as we talk with him here about the tweet, you know, that Dr. Phil had there concerning having sex with a drunk girl. Would you or would you not? And it's pretty, I'd say, basic. It's a pretty basic question. And I don't know. What would you do? Our number is 855-500-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Back with Dean Wheeler on this question by Dr. Phil. And he's saying Dr. Phil was asking the question because he really didn't know himself. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show here at 855-500-7445. What did I say?
Dirk said 7.
No, 855-500-7445. And online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass, you get a podcast of tonight's show. You also get a video cast in the archive of tonight's show, 5,000 hours of archived audio and all kinds of video. And it's what we call our BSP family, a very a crazy bunch of people that have been hanging with me for years. This show is 23 years old this month. 23 years old this month, and we have collected along the way a lot of very nice people, some strange people, but very, very nice people. Dean Wheeler on the line with us, and I don't mean you, Dean. You've been one of our many guests, and we do appreciate the many things that you have said on our program.
Well, I understand, you know, tonight's topic, Phil, is one that, you know, I take to heart because it's a personal topic for me. I know Dr. Phil. I think he's a good man.
No, I know you know Dr. Phil, and he's a good man, but I just wonder why a guy like him with his credentials, why he would need to ask the advice of his listeners. Is it okay to have sex with a drunk girl? Why would a guy like that, a Dr. Phil who's written book after book, who's done show after show, who's done tape after tape, why would a guy like that need to ask a question like that? And that's where we're going with this. Let's go to a phone call here. We got Larry. Whoa! Turn that down. Hey, Larry, how you doing? It's Phil Henry here along with Dean Wheeler. Larry?
Yeah, Phil, listen, I want to talk to Dean. I just want to ask a question here. What? You know, I've got three daughters myself.
Hold on for a minute because you're on a street with... There's another car out there that's got a car alarm going. Hold on, you got to either get into an area where it's a little bit quieter.
I understand, Phil. I'm trying to. I want to ask your guest here tonight. What is that? My car.
What is it with these calls that we? Is this a certain street in town or something like that?
What?
I get calls occasionally from the same street where there's a car getting busted into.
I don't know. It just sounded like a car alarm to me. I want to ask your guest here. It's Dean, right? Yeah, Dean Wheeler. I'm sorry. Say that again. My name is Dean Wheeler, sir. Yes, how are you?
No, I'm doing good. My question for you, Dean, is the simplest question of all, and I think Phil asked it, and I don't think that you answered it, or maybe you did. If that was your daughter laying there, and Dr. Phil was leaning over her, trying to make up his mind if he wanted to have sex with her or not, I'd like to know...
Boy, I'm telling you, somebody better take a sledgehammer to that car.
Well, is it the same car?
Are you asking me a question?
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
I want to know from this guy you got on your program, and I'll hang up and listen. If Dr. Phil was leaning over your daughter, okay? I got the gist of your question, sir. I got the gist of your question. You want to know if that was my daughter and it was Dr. Phil, a man that I trust and I know, would it be all right if he had sex with her?
Yeah, but I want you to answer that question, that specific question. If Dr. Phil was leaning over her glowering, all right?
I don't know. You didn't say glowering.
Well, I'm saying it now. If he was leaning over her glowering.
Okay, thanks. And hang up and listen, okay?
Well, no, I want to know what the guy's answer is.
I can't take that car phone going, or that car alarm going off much longer, all right? Thank you very much. So, Dean, you got the question, so go ahead and answer.
Well, first of all, I think that man had a little bit of an agenda. As he called up, he sounded a bit exercised. He asked me if that was my daughter. and it was Dr. Phil, I think I already indicated that I would say yes.
No, but he had a very specific question. He said if it was Dr. Phil leaning over your daughter and glowering.
What does glowering mean?
That's my question. What does glowering mean?
Well, I think what he was trying to set up here in your mind was not just a situation where you're, you know, Dr. Phil's going to have sex with your daughter, but he is he's standing over her. What is that?
Yeah, I called back because I just checked on that car alarm. It's not mine.
That's fine, sir. Bud, put the guy on. I don't want to listen to that loud-ass, excuse my language, street, okay?
Yeah, you want to find out about glowering.
Well, I'm going to answer the question about glowering. If you want me to answer about glowering, I'm happy to do that. I'm with you, Phil. I can't listen to the noise that was coming from the man's car or from the man's street.
All right. So go ahead, answer.
Well, if Dr. Phil was leaning over my daughter with a look on his face of hateful lust, I would still, knowing the man that I know, I would still have to say, I know it's ridiculous to say, but I think we are talking about Dr. Phil. And when you're talking about a man that America trusts and has trusted for a lot of years, a man who has the good housekeeping seal of approval from Oprah Winfrey, and that's about as good as it gets, I think it goes without saying that he is going to be a man that, a lot of people are going to trust, and a lot of people are, and I put my faith in that.
Yeah, I know, but you just said that if he was standing over her with a glowering look of hateful lust, for God's sake. Now, that is a pretty, that's a pretty scary-sounding thing. And I dare say that that's not even Dr. Phil any longer. All right, what is this guy again?
Yeah, he says he's off the street.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm in a restaurant right now. I'm going to get myself a bowl of Lipton soup. And I want to ask this guy, so what if he was glowering? And
he already answered the question, okay?
Yeah, I already answered it.
Well, I was parking my car and I was getting into a restaurant to get a bowl of Lipton soup.
That's great. The answer to the, go ahead and answer the question again.
You want me to answer the question?
Yes.
Well, I said, and what is your name, sir?
My name's Larry. My name's Larry. Larry.
All right, Larry, this is Dean. My answer to the question was very simply, it's Dr. Phil. And
what does that mean, Dr. Phil?
Hold on, let him answer.
What it means is that we've given this man our trust, we've given this man our belief, and he's not served us poorly.
So now I'm going to serve up my daughter on a platter. Is that what I do? I serve up my daughter on a platter to a guy that stands there, red-faced, sweating.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what he looks like.
Well, we don't know what he looks like when he's about to...
Okay, that's a dumb comment. That's a dumb comment. We don't know what he looks like when he's about to sleep with your drunk daughter. I would tell you, any guy that wants to sleep with a drunk woman, and he himself is just making her acquaintance that night, I think that guy deserves a jail cell someplace.
See, I think that's exactly the kind of hate that Dr. Phil has encountered.
You know, the way you say things, sir, it tightens my jaws and it makes me want to come right through this phone. Okay?
I can't control that, sir. I can't control your anger.
I've got three daughters of my own. And when I listen to you, making excuses for Dr. Phil standing over my daughter sweating with his pants undone.
All right, thank you very much for your call, Larry. I appreciate it, and have yourself that Lipton soup. We're talking here with Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center about the tweet there from Dr. Phil, would you have sex with a drunk girl or not? I'll tell you what I really think was going on here. I think it was a very bad question. It was a poorly placed question. It was one of those moral dilemmas that I think are interesting to ponder. I think Dr. Phil knows the answer. I think that he's not about to give the answer there on Twitter because he wants to know what people think. If he gives an opinion one way or the other, he's going to shade the answers.
I don't. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Well, it's very simply this. Online polls, online surveys, online questions of yes, no, what do you think? Are always driven, the opinions that are expressed are always driven by the opinion of the host. You could take a look at any opinion, for instance, that's on the O'Reilly show, for instance.
Yeah, everybody always supports O'Reilly.
Do you mind? I'm listening. Do you mind?
Yeah, just hold on, bud. You take any opinion on the O'Reilly show, or any opinion on any show, and it's always going to reflect the opinion of the host. Like, what do you think about this, that, or something else? 98%. Oh, and it just so happens to agree with the guy who's the host. You're always going to see that. And I think what he was doing here, Dr. Phil, was he was not injecting his own opinion into this.
Well, that's a lot of clever thinking, as you like to say, or one of your guests I heard. I responded to what
What are you trying to say here?
Well, with the clever thinking.
Okay, so you think that's clever thinking?
I think it's a lot of clever talk. Yeah. Oh well, you know, Dr. Phil, and why? What are you talking about? That's too clever. You know.
It is a little clever, Phil. You know what he means by clever? Is it's just why don't you have the opinion that the rest of us have?
What's that?
Well, that Dr. Phil really is trying to open up an educated discussion on whether it's all right
to have sex with a drunk girl.
Yes.
What about you, Margaret?
Would I have sex with a drunk girl? Are you ready for him?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Talking about lesbianism and everything?
I don't think Phil meant that, but it came out bad, Phil. And
no, that didn't come out bad. I'm asking you, Margaret, if you were drunk, would you want a guy to have sex with you?
If his name was Frank Gray, yes. How dare you?
All right.
Well, see, ask a stupid question, Phil.
You get a dumb answer.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay. Let me tell you something. There's nothing dumb about that question.
Well, you're asking me, would I mind if a man...
No. I'm just asking you, if it was you, and all things being equal, and maybe you were single, you know what I'm saying? I'm asking you to just step outside of your role as a mother and a wife and just be a woman for a second. And what would you think about a guy on a date? Because that's what I think he's talking about here.
Well, you said you wouldn't.
No, I would not. First of all, I don't want to run the risk of anybody screaming rape at the end of the night. You understand? See, I'm not that dumb. I'm not that stupid. There's guys that are so stupid. And when I say stupid, I mean, you know, first of all, sure, they've got the rapist mentality. In other words, they'd go after any woman that was helpless, that didn't say no but couldn't really resist. They wouldn't bat an eye. They'd do it, okay? That's what they are. That's just they've got that kind of, I think, hatred toward women. But that goes without saying, and that's nothing that I think is either stupid or not stupid. I think that's just kind of the pathology. What I'm talking about is that same jackass is going to do that knowing that she's going to call a cop, possibly.
Yeah, that's why all those guys kill them.
Well, yeah, a lot of them do, and a lot of them don't. A lot of them just are, you know, compelled by the thing that they are. But I'm talking about just regular dumbass guys out there in the world like me. And I think that the answer is probably pretty obvious. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show. Dean Wheeler, thank you very much for contributing on the program. So Dr. Phil's tweet, what else you got, bud?
The guy that got suspended for drugs and Edward Snowden.
Edward Snowden. Okay, so we'll talk about Edward Snowden in another hour here, and not in another hour, in a few minutes on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. And remember, backstage pass to philhenryshow.com is really the fast track into the world of the Phil Henry Show, one of the most rapidly evolving, revolutionary, ever-changing, ever-boss, ever-groovy kind of things going on radio today. Is it a talk show? Is it a satire? Is it spoken word? Is it unspoken word? Is it telepathy? We don't know. We don't care. Does it transcend radio at times? Join us, become a backstage pass holder, and watch as, who knows, man, I may metamorphosize his eyes or mutate to tate. I don't know what the word is.
I think it's just metamorphosize.
Into a bug here on the program. That was a Franz Kafka short story, which is completely over the head of the audience, and I apologize. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and philhenryshow.com.
Woo!
Hey, it's the Phil Henry Show here on this, what is this now? This is Tuesday night. And this is week two of our reboot, and this is show number 7 of the reboot here, and we're very, very grateful and very happy to be with you. And I'm accompanying Ms. Bobby Dooley into the studio tomorrow for her podcast with none other than Henry Rollins, one of the great iconic figures in not only rock and roll, but modern, in the contemporary expression of the interior landscape that we call art. Okay.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, I just think that that's a little too heady for Henry Rollins. I think just keep it basic.
Yeah, all right. Well, in any event, Henry Rollins with Bobby Dooley. This week we'll drop as a podcast. Bobby's back with her podcast, the Bobby Dooley podcast. Then later on tonight, Margaret, you got One Direction, is that it?
Yeah, I want to talk about this group, One Direction. I'm interested in it. I have a niece, and a lot of the gals that I know have daughters, and they are just crazy over this group. Now, I know that there are a lot of different teeny bopper and the different teen groups. There was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, excuse me. Why do you... Phil, when are you going to get used to the fact that I had some veggie burgers earlier?
Yeah, you don't have to belch it up.
Listen to you. Blah, 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 blah. What?
I said, what about a veggie burger to make you do that?
I don't know, but you know what it was? It was the Pepsi. It was the Diet Pepsi.
Okay. I mean, can you wait?
How do you wait on something like that? How do you wait on something? So I'll wait, Phil, and then I'll allow that gas to build, and it blows my throat right out of my neck like that thing that came out of John Hurt's stomach.
Yeah, it's probably true.
The thing that came out of John Hurt's stomach in Alien, that's what's going to happen to your throat, huh?
Go ahead and laugh.
Well, you know, you and your... In any event, what about One Direction?
Forget it.
No, I'm not forgetting. What about them?
It's a bunch of guys that the teens like. I don't know.
Yeah, I like the Spice Girls.
No, they're not like the Spice Girls, you moron.
Well, if you don't want to say...
They're like the Spice Girls except they're boys.
They're like the Spice Girls except they're boys. Well, we're going to talk about One Dimension, or One Direction, excuse me, not One Dimension, One Direction, which is another phenomenal, yeah, I mean, look, how many have there been? I mean, down to the years, there's always the teen phenom, man, and, you know, from the Jackson 5 to, I was looking at a video the other night of the Osmonds, and, you know, I got to tell you, I was not a fan of the Osmonds because by the time they became popular, I never would have been a fan of the Osmonds because they were too much for girls, and I was a young man, and I was I made damn sure that I didn't like anything my sister liked, you know.
Why is that?
Because I didn't want to like anything my sister liked. I didn't, you know, what do you think? If you're a boy and you got a sister, the last thing you want to do is be identified with anything that she's identified with because that's just the way boys are, you know.
Yeah, my sister, I don't like nothing she liked.
Like, what did your sister like?
Black people.
Yeah, that's why you don't like black people.
That's why you don't like black... What do you mean, black people?
Yeah, well, you got a black girlfriend.
Yeah, I got a black girlfriend.
Okay, so you like black people.
Now I do.
So you didn't like black people because your sister did. So you're reacting to that.
Yeah, pretty much. She liked a lot of the groups and everything. And she liked El DeBarge. And,
El DeBarge? Man, that's a long time. That's 30 years ago, man.
Well, I don't know.
How old's your sister?
60.
Get out of here.
Just kidding.
Your sister is 60.
He's joking. All right, so yeah, there's one direct, but I mean, you know, yeah, the Osmonds, then you move on up down through the years, then it was Wham, okay? Wham was like teen, man, that was teeny bopper. George Michael, all that, man. And then was, hell, I don't know, whatever else.
When you're talking about the 80s?
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was it for a long time. And then the early 90s, it was God knows what, Salt and Pepper. I don't know, man. A lot of the groups, a lot of the girls like the girl groups, too. You know, they dig, like Spice Girls. I remember my stepdaughter, Catherine, was just nuts over the Spice Girls, man. We had to go, I took her to see that movie. You know, her mom and I took her to see that Spice Girls movie. What a piece of crap. And the reason why I say piece of crap isn't because it was teen. I knew it was going to be a teen thing. But it was a ripoff because they only sang... They didn't even sing a whole song, you know?
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you, the whole movie that the Spice Girls did was just some jackball. Even, you know, when the Beatles came out with their movies and any kind of rock and roll band movie, they're doing some goofy stuff. It's always a comedy, okay? It's never a drama. I mean, it's a comedy, you know.
Yeah, what do you mean a drama?
What do I mean a drama?
Talking about Mel is not funny. Ow.
Well, why would it be a drama?
I don't know, man. I mean, if you take a rock and roll group, like Quadrophenia. Quadrophenia was kind of dramatic. Quadrophenia was dramatic. That was a rock and roll movie, and that was and it had the music of The Who, and it was very dramatic. You know, Tommy was a sort of a fantastic thing, but these teeny kind of movies are all comedies, man, whether it's, you know, Hard Day's Night or Help, any of that jazz. All right, so I expected that from the Spice Girls.
Yeah, but what about a drama?
I just got done telling you, man, okay?
Well, what are you getting upset about, Phil?
You guys are going back and forth with drama, comedy, drama, comedy. I'm just trying to tell you that now we're out of time. Thanks a lot.
Well, you should say it faster.
Yeah, I'll say it faster.
Yeah, I'll say it faster. How about if I just knock you cold, man, and then I start talking?
Well.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. All right, folks, stick around. Stay tuned, because who knows? One of these days, you know, I may just finish that story. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. In any event, it was a lousy movie. I don't recommend it if you ever see it come up on cable, which I doubt seriously that you will, because what the hell? I mean, they're going to show the cable, you know, what's... I don't understand it. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. See you on the other side, brother, with more talk about that, this, and something else.
Jeez.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night here till 10 o'clock on the Pacific Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment radio that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And this hour we have Granger Bartholomew, right?
Yes. Granger Bartholomew is a freelance writer, and he's going to be talking with us about the Eric Snowden case. Finally, we're covering that.
All right. I mean, the Eric Snowden thing has been exciting for a lot of people, and we will have... Granger Bartholomew with us now. He is a gentleman that he's not necessarily falling in lockstep with everybody else, saying that Mr. Snowden is just the most marvelous thing that's ever happened to the field of journalism. But then I think he has some reasons, rather interesting reasons, as to why he feels that way. We're going to get him on the line right now from Denver, Colorado, where he resides. Granger, good to talk with you. How are you?
Phil, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. And so what do you make of week whatever it is here of the Eric Snowden adventure?
Well, it's getting downright interesting now, because I think what we're seeing is a little bit more truth being reported about Mr. Snowden, and I will be very honest with you in why I'm on your show and the other broadcast that I've done today. This man, David Miranda, along with a partner of his, Glenn Greenwald, these are two individuals who are in a civil union together, are also two people that have taken the information given to them by Eric Snowden and published this under the guise of being hard-nosed reporters, reporting the truth on the United States government and Britain and so forth. But I had a conversation with Eric Snowden as well, and Eric Snowden promised me some of these documents.
When was this?
Well, it was just very shortly before the entire story became public. I had two telephone conversations with Eric Snowden, which time he said he would use me as a primary conduit of this information. Instead, he went to these two other people who no one's ever heard of, before this. And these two guys have taken this and have thrown this information in basically the journalistic equivalent of throwing it out of a window in a high wind and just let it fall wherever it's going
to
fall.
All right, so I take it you were going to deal with this information until it was not given to you, and has that changed your opinion of it?
Well, it's changed my opinion of the man who has decided that made the decision to disseminate it, Eric Snowden. He went from having conversations with me, a man who has journalistic credentials, somebody who is well known to, I think, both sides of the debate in this country and others, and he decided he would go with this Miranda and this Greenwald, and I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's because Eric Snowden has proven himself to me to be a little bit of an egocentric situation here. I think we've got an ego case that's out of control. I think he sees himself as some kind of a modern-day Paul Revere. I don't think that this guy is quite understands what he's dealing with. When you go to China and you go to Russia and you say, aha, here's a good place for me to do my business and to do my bidding, I got to question the intelligence of an individual like that.
All right, we're talking here with Granger Bartholomew, a freelance journalist, who's just made a rather stunning claim. You say that Eric Snowden had promised you these documents and then changed his mind and gave them to these gentlemen, Miranda and Greenwald. Why do you suppose he changed his mind?
Well, I think that I'll tell you what I think it is. I'd asked him, how did he see the credits on this? I mean, how did he see the byline? And he wanted to put his name first, and I said, well, I think that what we're talking about here is the guy that's doing the heavy lifting. I said, that's me. And we had an argument over not only how the byline would read, we started to have some discussions about how we wanted the any potential royalties to be split. And he was talking a 75-25 split in favor of himself. And I said, that's just not going to happen. I said, I've been in this business a long time.
You guys are talking about this like it's some kind of a movie deal. Didn't he realize that he was going to be arrested?
We never really. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he he hasn't been arrested.
No, but you're right. But didn't he realize he was going to be he was going to run afoul of the law?
That we never talked about that. But I'm sure that he was very much aware of that. But you know, in the world in the world that we were talking in, and the information we were talking about, we're not really. We're discussing that. We're talking about how these monies would flow, and I imagine he knew that he was going to leave the country, otherwise become a fugitive and live out on his own. But I think what's happened now is that he decided he would go with a couple of people, this Miranda and Greenwald, two people that are easy to control, two people that see themselves as freedom fighters, and Snowden is able to pull the strings from wherever he is. In Hong Kong or Moscow or in the capitals of some of the most authoritarian governments in the world. I mean, he's talking about U.S. surveillance, and we're having a debate about it, and that's all well, and that's America. We talk about these things. He's in two countries where they don't talk about these things, and he feels that he's being treated fairly. I will tell you that I think Eric Snowden is about as much a chump as I've ever seen. I know a lot of people think he's a freedom fighter.
Well, you know, I want to get into that. The view of him as being a great man or a hero, and I've seen that expressed. You just called him a chump, and I've heard the debate on both sides. Just saw Bradley Manning. He's about to go down for the count. He wasn't charged with treason, even though he was in the uniform of the United States military, but he has been charged with serious enough acts that he's not going to see the light of day for a long time. So it doesn't look like the government is swayed by any popularity contests.
Well, as well they should not be. And I think that this is a guy, Snowden, that I thank God every day that I go to sleep at night, I hit my knees and I say a prayer for my late father and my late mother and my grandfather and everybody. And I also thank God for the reality that I didn't fall in and do business with Eric Snowden, because if I had, I probably would be sitting in a gulag someplace right now, or you know, in a jail cell somewhere, or God knows what. I'd probably be on the bad end of a CIA contract and have me taken out. And I think that's what, you know, all things being equal, I think at this particular point, that's what I would want to see. Well, I shouldn't say this, you know, but.
You sound like you feel betrayed.
I do. I feel very much. I think every American feels betrayed today, Phil.
But the betrayal that you feel is a little bit different.
And how do you say that?
Because you feel betrayed that you didn't get this information and you didn't get a payday, you know?
No, I don't think that's the reason why I feel betrayed. I feel betrayed as an American that Eric Snowden has gone out and spilled these secrets to the governments, some of them not very friendly governments, but I don't feel betrayed. No, it doesn't have nothing to do with the payday. I understand I said that.
Yeah, you did. You were talking about how you guys were divvying up the money, or somehow there was going to be, I guess, I don't know what. There was going to be some kind of a, some sort of a split on royalties. I'm not exactly sure what. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're talking with Granger Bartholomew, freelance journalist, who is talking about Eric Snowden and Eric Snowden's release of sensitive documents. He claims that Snowden had promised these to him. He hadn't promised these to Miranda and Greenwald, and now out there in the cold is Mr. Bartholomew. We'll get back to Granger Bartholomew. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And don't forget philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, podcasts, archived tapes, video casts. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Beautiful, baby.
All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's enough of an establishment on that bumper music, you know.
Yeah, pretty good, though.
Big deal, man. Thank you very much, Pink Floyd. Welcome back to our program. You know, I'm telling you about bumper music, man. You got to have that stuff just, I mean, it's got to hit, like, right now, you know. I don't want to wait 6 years for it, okay?
And you're talking about hitting the post.
Yeah, that's right, hitting the post. Jeez. Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. David G. Hall is joining us on the other line. I don't know what the problem is, bud.
Did you mispronouncing that thing?
You said you mispronounced him.
Let me get him on the line. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and I just, I know that you've got Granger on the phone. I don't want to take up too much time. Granger, how are you doing?
Hey, David, real good.
Phil, you and Granger both have been saying Eric Snowden, and I was just informed by the guys in D.C., you know, Shane and some of the guys said it's Edward. It's Edward Snow. You aware of that? Are you talking to me? I'm not talking to you just yet, Granger.
No, I did not. I'm sorry. You're right. David's right. It's Edward Snowden.
Well, I wish somebody had told me, because that makes me look a little... But you said that you were in... Well, I shouldn't say. Didn't you say you were in contact with him? I don't know. Are you talking to me or not?
Yes, he's talking to you.
No, I'm talking to you, Phil. Didn't you say you were in contact with this guy, Granger?
I'm talking to him on the show right now.
No, I'm sorry. Not him. This guy, Snowden.
I'm not in contact with him.
All right. Why are you asking? You sound like a little boy, Phil.
Yeah, you sound a little bit hysterical, Phil. You're talking to me, right?
I'm talking to you. Who was the guy that was in touch with this guy, Snowden?
Hold on. Everybody just shut up for a second.
You're telling me to shut up?
Hold on. You're talking to me, Phil Henry. I'm the host, right?
I know that.
Okay. Why would I have contact the guest that I have on, Granger Bartholomew?
I'm the guy that was in touch with him, Mr. Hall. I was the one that was talking to, I thought, a guy by the name of Eric Snowden. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. It was not Eric Snowden. His name is Edward Snowden.
Yeah, I know that now, and I thank you very much for telling me that. And I was hopeful that Phil Henry would have said something, but apparently he didn't.
Why do I got to tell you what the guy's name is?
Because you're the host of the show.
Yeah, because you're the host of the show.
Did you or did you not say that you met this guy?
I did say that, yeah. I said I met him on the phone. I met him on the telephone, and we talked over some business.
Right, but you're the host of the show. And he's looking to you for your example.
Okay, so I screwed up the guy's name, but I was thinking that maybe Mr. Bartholomew here.
Oh, it's Mr. now. Now, yeah, see, we're not good friends. We're not a-hole buddies anymore, are we?
You know something?
Well, you know, you caught that, Phil.
No, hold on. Everybody, put everyone on hold.
Don't.
Put everyone on hold. When I tell you to put people on hold, put them on hold.
What are you doing?
You belching gives everyone here permission to belch, and I want it to stop because I'm trying to do an adult show, not a little tiny kitty show, okay?
And what does belching have? Adults belch.
Yeah, talking about the alien coming out of her throat.
You know, this whole thing about the alien coming out of your throat if you don't belch, Margaret, this idiot here is buying that. Robert, do you buy it?
Well, I mean, sort of.
So he's buying it. Now I got this guy, Granger Bartholomew, on the line. All right, go ahead, put him back. Hey, Granger?
Phil, I know is what you all do on your show. And I heard Margaret belch. I thought it would be okay. I don't blame him for that, Phil. I blame you. And I blame your show.
Well, what else is new? You know, you blame me for everything, man. You blame me for stuff that I've got nothing to do with.
Oh, will you grow up, please? I don't want to hear you start to cry. All I want you to do is let people know what a guy's name is. If you got a guest on the show and he's saying that the name, you know, saying the name wrong, he looks to you to find out what the name is. And you say that he already met Mr. What's your name, Bartholomew? Yeah, my name's Bartholomew. That's a little shocking. You don't know who my name is, but yeah, that's what it is. Sir, I'm a prod. You know, all I'm is a vice president of syndication. I don't know every guest that Phil Hendry has on the show. Have you met this guy, Eric Snowden? Is that his name, Eric Snowden? That's what you said. That's all I... Did you meet a guy named Eric Snowden?
What's his name? Didn't you say his name is Edward?
I said that that's what the guys told me his name was, yeah. But this guy says he met a guy named Eric. I'm just trying to figure out who met who. I met the guy who's in Russia right now. Okay, that's Edward Snowden. Okay, I always thought Edward Snowden was a duke or some damn thing like that. I don't know.
Yes, I always thought there was a... Isn't there an Edward Snowden in England?
I don't know. I'll have to check that. But in the meantime, I was told it's Edward, Phil.
Okay. Thanks very much, David.
Well, you're going to hang up on me.
Yeah, I am. I just did, and that felt good. All right, so we're going to not have any more calls like that.
It's Mr. Hall, though.
Mr. Hall, is it? If I get one more call from Mr. Hall, then I'm going to have him fired. How about that? I'll have him fired, and I'll stay here, because that's how the game's played now, you see?
Well, Phil, just because talent has more power doesn't mean you've got to start flexing your muscles.
Well, I'm going to. That's exactly what I'm going to do if I get any more phone calls from that nut asking me, who are you talking to? Eric Snowden? Edward Snowden? Oh, wait, I thought I was talking to Eric Snowden. Well, you were talking to Eric Snowden, because that's what Phil said. Oh, it was actually Edward Snowden. So, and I have to tell you, Granger, I am very, very upset with you for taking his side and blaming me.
Well, I'm trying to do the very best I can with information that I get from you.
You had telephonic...
What?
You had some kind of telephonic connection or communication with this guy. His name is... What's his name?
His name is, as far as I knew, it was Eric Snowden. I never asked him what his name was. I said, hey, Eric, Ed, anything that started with an E, all I knew was Snowden, and he responded to that. And he promised me...
How do you know you were even talking to the right guy?
Well, how many guys tell you that their name is Eric Snowden and they have secret documents?
Guys that are named Eric Snowden, not Edward?
What? What are you talking...
See, no one knows what you're talking about, Phil.
All right, well, we'll just keep, you know, I'll just keep going with this interview as if it's a real, you know, as if this guy, you know.
As if this guy what? Let me tell you the kind of journalist that I am, Phil, okay?
No, see, what we started doing.
No, hold on, man. I want to tell you the kind of journalist that Granger Bartholomew is. So you know, and so your audience knows what you're dealing with here, okay? You're dealing with the real deal. I sleep in my car, my friend. I carry my own camera equipment, my friend. I do most of my own editing in the field. I do most of my own... I file all my reports from the field. I do it by way of a cell phone. Sometimes I've done it by way of radio telephone. I mean, I am out there hunting up the stories, and I'm sleeping in my car probably 5 days out of seven during any particular week. Okay?
Why aren't you staying in a motel?
Because, you know, something that's got...
Don't you have enough money to stay in a motel?
Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm not making enough money. Maybe these news gathering organizations are not paying me enough money. But what I'm telling you is, I'm right where the story... I'm not like a lot of these sissy reporters, okay? I'm a real reporter, my friend. I'm a real journalist. I go out, and when I come home to my girlfriend, and she keeps a beautiful apartment, and she keeps our home very spotless and very clean. My girlfriend's a nurse. And I will tell you this, Bill, I come home and I follow that apartment up, and I'm proud of that, and I'll tell you why. Because I go out, I work for a living. She knows that, Sandy knows that. I come home, I stink that apartment to hell and back. It stinks like a sewage dump. I'm telling you. And
what is so great about that? And are we getting any closer to your story here about Edward Snowden?
No, we're getting close to my story about Eric Snowden. Yes, I'm just kidding around.
Cut out! Did Mr. Hall call back?
Hey, don't tell me what to do. Is that Dickman?
Yeah.
Dickman, you don't tell me what to do. I'm the reporter. I sleep in my, you know.
Yeah, I know, and you smell like dew when you come home.
That's right. That's right. I smell, in other words, I smell the way you do most of the time. But when I come home, I stink like a sewer because I've been out and I have been getting the story in some of the darkest, deepest, funkiest places in America. That's where I go. And when I come home and my girlfriend can smell me a block of... Excuse me, Phil. I was going to say, when I come home, my girlfriend can smell me a block away. She knows daddy's home, man. She knows who's bringing home the bacon.
Yeah, but the only thing of it is you're telling me you're not making all that much you're not making all that much money.
You laughing about that? And another word,
I'm not laughing about it, man, but, you know, you're a reporter, and you go out and you get the story. You're not making a lot of money doing it, so what do? You turn around and cut a deal with this guy Snowden for the royalties this and the royalties that, and it's dirty money, man. This guy is taking documents from the classified files of the United States government, spilling them out there, and he says he's having some big debate. And what if the debate ends he's wrong? Is he prepared to be wrong?
What are you talking about, man? We're having a great debate in this country about classified document.
All right, and debates sometimes end up not in your favor. Are you guys, you and Snowden and the rest...
No, not me and Snowden, man. I'm not... That guy stabbed me in the back.
Well, he stabbed you in the back because he gave the story to another reporter. Hold on for a second. You see what I'm saying?
No, I think you're trying to make... You're trying to make another one of your conservative political points.
It's not a conservative point. I'm just asking. I'm asking intelligent people... Him, Mr. Bartholomew included, I'm asking intelligent people, are you ready to lose the debate? Is that guy Snowden ready? Is he ready to lose the debate? Is he ready to say, okay, I've had this great debate about all of this groovy stuff, and Edward Snowden, you know, I did this and I did that, okay? Well, guess what, Edward, thank you for the debate, but you know what? You're wrong, man. What you did... harmed the country, it did no real good, and it put a lot of people in danger, and there's a lot of people that are fighting for real political expression in other countries, and they're in real trouble now because of your big fat mouth. Is he ready to accept blame for that?
That was so boring. That
yeah, I didn't even listen to it.
I could not listen to that.
That was so boring, huh?
I'm sorry, Phil, but I'm looking for a tampon. I'm sorry.
Oh, she's looking for a tampon. Okay.
Yes, she's looking for a tampon.
We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Every Show, 855-500-7445. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, nightly here on the Phil Hendry thing here, the Phil Hendry Network, on all of your affiliated stations, and they are the best, they're the greatest, we love them. We love our affiliates, love our advertisers, we love you. Yes, we do, and I have no problem saying that. You know, I'm all grown up, and I'm a man, and I'm comfortable in my sexuality.
Yay.
Thank you. All right, now we do have on the line, of course, Granger Bartholomew. Don Berman, I'm going to get all kinds of hell now from my video. I know. All kinds of hell from my video cast viewers. All you missed was the intro, folks. You didn't miss anything. All kinds of hell from my video cast guys because we had the, you know.
Yeah, the audio muted.
The audio muted. Yes, we did. All right, so getting back here to our good friend Granger Bartholomew. A guy who has been following the Edward Snowden story very carefully, a guy who was in touch with Edward Snowden at the beginning, I guess, of this adventure, and claims that Mr. Snowden had promised him the story, and now you're put out with him for a variety of reasons, not the least of which, of course, is what you now see as a mistake releasing these documents. Now, I'm going to bring Don Berman on here from Channel 19. I know you know him, Granger.
And Don's an eminently fair guy, and I think he's going to be, Phil, I think he's going to be someone who's going to give you I think he'll give you the view that you're looking for, someone who's in a broadcast game like you are, and maybe you will have a little less doubt about me.
The only doubt I've got here, Granger, is that you went from being a guy who was getting ready to take these documents from Edward Snowden, and suddenly when he gave them to other reporters, and you lost out on this royalty split, now you think the guy is making a mistake.
I took another look at it. I took a step back from it. Yes, that's right. And I think a cynical person would say, well, that's because Granger Bartholomew at the end of the day, took it in, as we used to say back in the days in school, he took it in the shorts. I took it, you know, you would say that Granger Bartholomew took it squarely in the shorts. But I'm here to tell you, I'll tell you that Granger Bartholomew is a very good reporter. Ask anyone. I know you're going to have Don on here in a minute. And he'll tell you that Granger Bartholomew, look at Phil, I told you, Granger Bartholomew sleeps in his car. I won't even talk about myself in the first person. If it makes you feel more comfortable, I'll talk about myself in a third person, because I think that way you will be disabused of any notion I've got some ego trip going here, all right?
No, I don't think you have an ego trip. I think you have a, there is a financial interest that you lost out on that bothers me.
Hey, Phil, let me tell you, you know, Granger Bartholomew...
You don't have to call yourself, you can say me, all right? I won't think you're an ego case.
No, but I really, for all of your listeners out there, so they won't think I'm an ego, that I'm on an ego trip. Granger Bartholomew sleeps in his car. Granger Bartholomew comes home smelling like fecal matter. I'm telling you, that's because I get up close and personal in a story.
Granger, this is Margaret. What is it about getting up close and personal in a story that means you have to smell like an unflushed toilet?
Okay, I don't want this to turn into some kind of a joke, Phil.
No, it's not. You're the guy that's been making the point about coming home and stinking to high heaven.
Because I am not out sleeping in, you know, first-class hotels, flying first class, like I'm a broadcast journalist. Granger Bartholomew sleeps where he has to, and sometimes I'm sleeping in sewage. Sometimes I am resting in sewage. My blanket is sewer water. My pillow is a box of old, dirty, filthy diapers. I mean, I am not kidding, and I say that because I want people to understand what a real journalist... We don't know what real journalism is no more.
All right, let's get Don Berman on the line here from Channel 19 News. Don is actually at, he's either at Los Alamitos tonight or one of the local quarter horse track. How you doing, Don? Good to talk with you.
Hey, Phil, I'm doing very well. And Granger, how are you, son?
I'm doing good, Don.
Phil, I echo what Granger is saying. He is every bit the great journalist that we all know him to be. And hold on for just a minute.
Well, I appreciate those sentiments, Don.
Hold on for just a minute.
Okay, Don, I know that you're at the track.
Don't worry about if you don't mind, Phil, I do want to talk to you about Granger. Hold on, here we go. Come on, baby. Granger is a tremendous journalist, and I want to go on at length about Granger. I think he's done so many great things for our industry, but I've got a horse here.
Well, you know, you're on the air with me.
I apologize, Phil. I really do. When's the gate going up on this? Here he goes.
Okay, Don, I'm going to have to hang up, man, if you're...
Will you hold on for just a minute? For God's sake. Just 1 second. In any event, Phil, Granger Bartholomew is a man who has been at the forefront of the fight for truth in journalism. I know. I was there with him when he worked in the Channel 19 newsroom. And he would go out and he would look up these stories on the homeless, on the hungry, on children that didn't have a place to sleep, on people that that didn't have any medical attention. Granger was out there, and he got fired. And why did he get fired? He got fired because we had these little Mary Janes and these little Red Riding Hoods that were running our news department who wanted him to come in. Oh, there's the call to the Post. What are you guys talking about anyway? I'm sorry, Phil. That's the call to the Post. That's the call to the Post, you dumbass. It doesn't mean that... Phil, I'm awfully sorry.
Okay, I can't sit here listening to you, you know...
Will you hold on? That's all right, Phil. Here they go. Here they go. Come on, you dirty, filthy whore. You dirty, filthy, crawling whore. I got a great horse. I got the blue and the gray here, right there. Yeah, what's he in the pink jockey? Or is it, he's behind you. Give me the glasses, will you?
Okay, we're talking to Don Berman, and we're talking about the efficacy of journalism.
Come on, you dirty, filthy, crawling, prostitute slut. Come on, you slut! Come on, you dirty slut! Come on, baby! What horse has he got?
I don't know what horse he's got.
Come on, you filthy, crawling, disease-ridden, you stinking... Tear it up. I tell you, you know what? I hated that mag.
You said you had the horse, the blue and the gray.
Yeah, so what? So it turns out I didn't have a horse. The blue and the gray. Yeah, the only thing about that horse that's blue and gray is its skin is blue. Its fur, do horses have fur?
Never mind. So we're talking here with Don Berman.
I'm sorry you lost that race, Don. Oh, you know what, Granger, don't worry about it. Phil's the guy that gets really upset about all this.
Because we're talking on the air right now about a very important story. That's the Edward Snowden story.
Yeah, it was so important you were calling him Arab. Hold on. I do want to talk about it. Here, here's $2. Get across the board on Ginger. On Gingerfish. Gingerfish. You know the colors in the jockey? Six horse. You take the money and you put it across the board. Get out of here. Okay, Phil, I got to get back for the 10 o'clock.
You know, you got a newscast to do tonight, and you're at the track?
Oh, that's right. What are you, Mother Cabrini? You got to get off a guy's back, Phil. Guy's got to have some fun.
Don Berman joins us here, folks, if he ever does. We're talking with him, along with our very good friend Granger Bartholomew, about the Edward Snowden story, and about Edward, apparently...
You want to know why I'm watching the race? Because you can't get to the point, you know?
I'm trying to get to the point. I'm listening to you. Edward Snowden promised the story here to Granger. Let me ask you this, Don. Do you believe that Edward Snowden was in touch with Granger?
Granger Bartholomew says that Edward Snowden was in touch with him. Hold on. Did you get the bet down? Did you get the bet down?
On what?
On a horse. On the horse.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Granger Bartholomew, Phil, is, in my opinion, one... if he said that he was in touch with Edward Snowden, then I got news for you. Here's a news flash. Yes, he was. And if he said that he was in touch with Edward Snowden, and Snowden promised him certain things, and Snowden has reneged on it, then I would say that Edward Snowden has an awful lot... is that Ginger Girl in the pink? Hold on. I'm awfully sorry, Phil. I didn't know you were going to call right in the middle. This is the feature.
Yeah.
Oh. Come on, baby. Yeah. Move on up. Yeah, I love this jockey. I love this guy, Melende. He's great. That's it, baby. That's it. On the outside. That's it. Look at him move. Look at him move, will you? Look at him move. He's coming around. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, you dirty. Come on, you slut. Come on, you slut. Come on, you slut. Oh, what a piece of... What? Glue. That's all that thing's good for is Elmer's glue. E-L-M-E-R-S. Nestle's makes the very best. God. Tear it up. I don't give a damn what you do with it.
Are you ready to talk now?
Who's this?
Phil Hendry. I've been on the air with you now for the last 15 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. Hold on. Is that Mally there? Hey, nice ride there. It's Berman. How you doing? Nice ride, you cripple. Have you been fitted for... Did you get fitted for leg braces? What they ought to do is put that horse directly on the trailer and send it right. Elmer's is not too far away from here. You know the Elmer's glue place, Phil?
Yeah.
They got a rendering plant right over here.
All right, I got to take a break, okay?
Now you do that.
What a smartass that guy is.
Well, Phil, you ought to know better than to call him just before the feature.
Oh, well, excuse me, Don. I didn't mean to call you just before the feature. Don Berman, along with Granger Bartholomew here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk about, or we're talking about, and may talk again about the, the Edward Snowden story. Maybe Eric. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. We'll be right back to these important announcements. PhilHendryShow.com. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're talking about Edward Snowden and his ongoing drama, the ongoing drama of Edward Snowden being that he has all these marvelous documents that he's decided to leak to the world, the world's press, and the U.S. government is not too happy with him, and there is that marvelous debate that he wanted to encourage, which is happening, and the debate is, the debate lines are being drawn, and there are people on one side, there are people on the other, and, the question that I have is the same question asked in the New Yorker, a very good article written in the New Yorker magazine by Jeffrey Toobin. And
Jeffrey Toobin is a well-known conservative. Do you mind, can I finish?
God, all I'm saying is the guy made a very good point. He said, and what if you lose the debate? What if the debate comes out? Is it when you say that you want to have a debate, are you really saying, but I'm going to win the debate? There's no way I can lose the debate. I'm not going to lose. I will. So why even listen to anybody? If you're going into the debate convinced you're winning and you will win, there's no point in listening to anyone. All you're going to be doing is setting up these defensive strategies, trying to just blow people off of their position, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, well, you said blow.
Yeah, you need to watch that.
Oh, would you clean your ear, your minds up or something?
Clean my ear up?
I clean my ears every night with, well, I clean my ears with alcohol. You're not talking about that.
No, I'm not talking about. Don Berman is on the line with us as well. Don, along with Granger Bartholomew. Don is at, I believe he's at Los Alamitos here this evening. He's been... You know, Don, all I'm saying is I'm trying to talk to you while you're betting on the races, and it's a little bit difficult.
Look, you wanted me to come on here and give Granger Bartholomew the clean bill of health. You wanted me to do a quick diagnostic on Granger's career, and I'm here to tell you that there is no better reporter out there.
Don, I do appreciate that very much, Don, and, you know, I don't need Don here to...
I want to comment on the story, though.
All right.
And my comment on the story... is a very simple one. This man, Edward Snowden, who had promised my friend here, Granger Bartholomew, some money, as well as some bit of the byline, if he had given him these documents, I think made a decision. He went with two other reporters. The information that this man Snowden has is very important, and I think it needs to get out there, and I'm sorry that, Granger, you got taken, but... I think he had to go with journalists that he could trust.
Now, hold on. You just said that I was...
Yeah, you just said that there's no better reporter.
There is no better reporter than Granger Bartholomew if you can trust him. But if you can't trust him, and Granger, you know this. You know this. I'm not saying anything. If you can't trust him, there's not a guy that'll stick a shank in your back faster and deeper than Granger Bartholomew. But you know that.
I don't know any such thing. I don't know what you're talking about. I thought you...
What, are you going to start to cry?
I'm not crying. You always ask people that question, Don. I'm not going to cry. I'm saying to you, I thought you were my friend.
I'm your friend as far as it goes. Now, I've lost two races because I'm having to talk to people and defend you. Look, there's the... Is he back with the tickets or not?
I'm starting to agree with Mr. Henry. You're not paying attention to what the debate is here.
Paying attention to the debate, but I've taken it in the shorts on two races. Do you mind?
Yeah, we mind, Don, because we want to talk to you about this.
And you're talking to me about it. I just told you that Granger Bartholomew can't be trusted as far as you can throw him in a hurricane. Okay?
That's just minutes after saying he's the greatest reporter you know.
That's right. Hold on. What do I got here? Oh, we got Attaboy Binky again. Not that thing. That thing's a... Oh, you dirty... Yeah, but you should know I didn't want to bet on that horse. God, here we go. Look at that filthy, look at that dirty, filthy thing. It's a plow horse. That's all it is. That's really all it's good for, to pull a plow. Look at that. There he goes. There's the Budweiser horse wiping up the rear. If you ever see Attaboy Binky on a program again, I don't want you to go near it. You understand me? Snooky, hey, what are you doing? Forget the girls. You understand what I'm saying?
Attaboy Binky.
Right. Okay, so I just took another one right straight up to you-know-what. You guys happy?
Now, don't blame me for any of this, okay?
You can't blame me either, Don. I'm not a guy betting.
What?
I'm not the guy that bets.
You know, Phil, I'm going to tell you a story. You know who I used to use to run bets for me?
Who?
This guy here, Granger Bartholomew. And do you think things were any better? No.
Well, maybe it's the guy that's placing the bets. Maybe it's the guy that's actually picking the horses.
Maybe, and maybe it isn't. Maybe these guys are just bad luck. I'm trying to be good luck for you, Granger, and I'm saying you're a great man unless it has to do with this story, which I disagree with you on, and I'm telling you right now, I think that this guy made the right move. Right now, I'm down $2,000 in this dirty, filthy, rotten sport called horse racing. I'm Don Berman.
Is that it?
I think that's his lockout, yeah.
All right, Don, thanks very much. Don Berman there. He started out by giving you a pretty good recommendation.
Well, Bill, I tell you, that was a pretty good recommendation by way of a powerful left hook. I don't need a recommendation like that.
Well, he said something about you're not trustworthy. Is this guy Snowden a guy who you've dealt with before?
I've known Eric Snowden a long time. Edward Snowden, I don't think I ever met before.
Okay, was Edward Snowden the guy you were talking to?
I think so.
Well, you think so. So you were talking to a man named Eric.
I was talking to a man named Eric, but I thought it was Edward. I thought it was the guy.
Well, I'll tell you, he gave the story to somebody else. Maybe he wasn't even talking to you.
I find that hard to believe, Phil. I discussed in depth with the man. He said he had secret documents. They were classified documents. He was going to give them to me. We talked about, you know, splitting the revenue. And then, the next thing I know, there's no documents, and this guy Snowden has given them to somebody else. So I feel that I was cheated and lied to, up my giggy with a wall brush, anything you want to say.
All right, but if it wasn't really the Snowden that we were talking about, then it would make sense that this guy would just vanish, okay?
Well, why wouldn't he just dummy up some fake documents?
Yeah, just make some fake ones on the internet.
Yes, he could use one of those programs on the internet that make fake looking things, you know.
Yeah, sure, he could do that.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that he didn't. He probably, and I think that's a testament to the kind of reporter I am. He probably decided, well, I won't dummy up anything because this guy's going to know it's fake.
Yeah, sure. You know, I'll tell you something, man.
Well, why are you blowing that off?
I'm blowing it off this way. I believe, Granger, that you are not being respected here at all. I think the guy thought maybe he could cut a deal with you where he'd see some money, and he didn't see any money coming his way, so he just blew you off. You know, he's not going to go to the trouble of making fake-looking government documents and give them to a dude that is not going to come up with any money. Did he ask you for money?
Well, he said it was an investment, yeah.
Did you give him any?
Oh, I gave him a couple $100, yeah.
What are you... Man...
But Phil, I go out and get the story. I get the job done, okay?
You ain't getting nothing done, man. You didn't get nothing done.
What do you mean I got nothing done?
You gave the guy $200, a guy named Eric Snowden, not Edward. He didn't give you anything.
I'm out sleeping in sewage, okay?
I get it already. You come home and you stink like a garbage sump, and that's supposed to give the message to your girlfriend that you're a badass, hardworking guy. Do you bring home any money?
It's not about bringing home money. She just wants to know that I'm out there working. I'll bring money home. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so you're gone a week, and you come back, and you stink like something right out of a cat's rear end.
He's acting like an ass.
Yeah, you know what? I'll see you later.
I'm telling you, man, it's beyond anything I've ever seen. All right, we'll be back with our final hour here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And don't forget, folks, get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com and listen to the podcast of this show, as well as our classic podcasts that are up there daily, as well as our 5,000 hours of archived audio and video, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night for your dancing and listening pleasure, and we're all like spoken word, you know, because we talk about it here, and I'm your host, and I'm Phil Hendry. It's great to be with you. If you've never heard our show before, one thing that's rather important is to listen, because it's not a show that you're going to get through one listening. It just isn't, trust me when I tell you. However, that having been said, we're glad to have you with us, and we're certainly... grateful for your patronage. We have a website called philhendryshow.com, which is where you can go and get a subscription to our site, where you can hear 5,000 hours of full radio. Yeah, I should say Phil.
Yes, you can hear 5,000 hours of Phil radio shows.
Yeah, Phil, it's Phil of it.
Yeah, that doesn't work, you know.
No, I think that's pretty good.
Your fill of it, if you listen to... Well, you get your fill of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's fine.
Get your fill if you fill up.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, you're the one asking, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, but you ask, and you... Then we're the ones twisting in the...
I am sorry if I left you twisting in the breeze. Anyway, it's philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. R.C. Collins is going to join us. He is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. He's also an individual very familiar with, as well as the other cadets there at the Military Academy with American Culture. It's a very interesting group of young men that we talk with because these are guys who are committed to the military as a career. They are also familiar with our culture and certainly world culture, perhaps the things that eventually put us on a collision course with each other. And we're going to talk to them this hour about the current pop music phenomenon, One Direction. This is a group of young men. I'm not really sure where they're from. Well, you know where they're from, Margaret?
Well, I'm assuming they're from England because they're premiering their film in London. If they were Americans, I think that they would premiere it in the United States.
Yeah, but what if they are American?
Well, I say God help them. God have mercy on their souls.
Boy, you're serious, aren't you?
Why wouldn't I be serious? God help them if they're Americans and they're debuting their film in London. May God...
Okay, take it easy, Margaret. People are going to think you're threatening them.
I'm not... Grow up. I'm not threatening. I'm saying... If you're One Direction or their management and you're debuting a movie in London and you are an American group, I don't want to be around you when, you know, a certain time of the day.
And what time of day would that be?
Don't look at me accusingly.
Well, what time of day are you talking about?
Whatever time of day they put out hits on people.
Yes, whatever time of day, the mafia.
Oh, man! You're threatening them.
No, I'm not. I like One Direction. I hope those boys live a long time. And I'm simply giving them advice.
You know what, Margaret? If I were you, I'd just shut up.
You're telling me to shut up.
I'm telling you to shut up. If I were you, I'd just shut it off. So we're talking about this group, One Direction, and their phenomenal success, and the fact that, you know, like any other teen group, they've earned it, man. They've earned it, and they've earned it quite handsomely. So let's get on R.C. Collins along with maybe some of the other guys there at Bradley Military Academy this evening to talk a little bit about One Direction. And as I said, R.C., we were talking to the audience and saying that, in essence, it's an interesting... I think you guys are an interesting group of young men who are devoted to the defense of the country. And you study the country's culture, you study the country's cultural tastes as a way of getting a heads up on what the red flags are and what the warning signals are?
Well, in a lot of ways, Mr. Henry, that's a very good way of putting it. We don't know what's going to be threatening to America in the future. We do want our people to be strong, but if the American people are weak, And it can happen. I'm not saying the American people are weak as the American people is. You know, if you look at the American people and you go back 200 years, it's the American people is strong. And you was telling me about the book you were reading about Joseph Plum Martin. That's a good example of this, of how strong it is.
That's a great book. Have you guys read that?
No, sir, I haven't read it.
You should read. Joseph Plum Martin was a young revolutionary soldier, and he wrote a book. He wrote his memoirs when he was 70, and it's amazing, you know.
Yeah, I do want to read it, but I've got other books on my reading list right now that are more, I'm sure you understand, tank warfare, the use of artillery, close-in fighting, urban combat. There's a lot of very modern things now that I'm sure that Mr. Plum will...
Joseph Plum Martin was his name.
I'm sorry, Mr. Plum Martin said that they didn't do then, you know, or anything like that.
What didn't they do in a revolution that they do now? A revolution is the best war ever.
Well, yeah, I know the revolution was the best war ever for America, it was. But there's other wars that was fought that was even more tough.
I think that R.C.'s making a good point. There was no urban warfare in the Revolutionary War the way they have it today. There was no house-to-house fighting.
Well, there was farmhouse fighting.
Yeah, it was farmhouse to farmhouse.
Okay, there was farmhouse to farmhouse, man. What does that mean?
Yeah, farmhouse to farmhouse. That's what... You gotta flesh your headgear out, man. There's about a mile between farmhouses.
Yeah, but that's house to house.
Okay, great. It's house to house, man. Ain't what we're talking about here. We're talking about urban combat. So anyway, RC, go ahead.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, I don't like him going anyway. RC, this is Margaret. I'm an adult, so have a little bit of respect.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't mean to laugh at you. I was laughing at Dickman. He's all house to house.
Yeah, well, it technically was house to house.
And I said, good for you. Technically, it was house to house. You don't understand what we're talking about, though, man. RC's talking about house to house is like urban. It's like going from one door to the next, man. It was very close. The enemy's close. He's within a few feet of you. He's from one room to the next. You know?
Yeah, we were studying, like, Stalingrad and how they were in sewers and stuff. And I guarantee you right there, that's closer than a farmhouse.
Well,
yeah, just give it up, will you, bud? All right, so, RC, how does this all draw us into the discussion of One Direction?
The what?
How does your, discussion...
Oh, the group One Direction is... Yeah, I thought you were talking about... We were still talking about house to house, you know?
No, we're not talking about house to house now. We're talking about One Direction, this phenomenal group.
Yes, sir. I believe that these phenomenons that young women are engaged in enjoying, I think it's healthy to a point. But I think the thing that American girls especially need to be reminded of, and I'm very glad you made the point earlier, Mr. Hendry, about them being from England. The groups that are from England, that's great, and I'm glad that they are. But to see American girls going, really getting all, you know, getting excited about them is kind of offensive to American soldiers and the fighting men of this country, because we're going to go over to maybe Iraq, even though that war is over. Maybe we'll go back over there, and maybe we won't, but we're going to go to other countries and fight, and our women are back here getting all crazy about some guys that aren't even in uniform, number one, and they're not even of them, and then not even American. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
You're doing fine. They're not even American.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
All right. Our number is 855-500-7445. What about that, folks? R.C. Collins joining us, a young man in a military academy who feels that going to war is fine and defending America's honor is fine, but he's got a problem with American girls getting, quote, as he said, all excited about guys who aren't even in the military and are, in point of fact, young men who are, you know, foreigners. They're not Americans. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. On the line with me here is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about One Direction and the Phenomenon, another great singing group that has captured the imagination and the whatever else of America's and the world's teenage girls. 855-500-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com at 855-500-7445 on this Tuesday night here. Grateful for your patronage, as I say, and we just love our... And here's a group here, the Go-Go's. We got R.C. Collins on the line with us from Bradley Military Academy as we're discussing with him this phenomenon of One Direction. The reason why we're talking with a young man from a military academy is because part of the study... that goes into the tuition, if you will, of young military aspirants, if I'm using that word properly.
Yes, aspirationist.
Aspirationist? Well,
you asked me, Phil. You know, I don't like you asking me, I hate to do this on the air, but you're asking me a question just so you can make me look like a big, wide ass on a horse.
Well, you got to do it on purpose.
Margaret, I'm not trying to embarrass you.
Well, that's the effect, though.
No, no, whatever word, okay? R.C., how you doing?
Yes, sir, I think Mr. Henry, Ms. Gray, and I don't mean to take the wrong side of it, but I do believe he's right with the aspirin.
Well, I think you would, so...
Well, I'm not trying to do anything bad.
Margaret, just... Anyway, R.C., thank you for joining us. I think I said that correctly, though. You want to learn about the cultures, and that's what you're telling us. Now, let's talk about One Direction. You have a problem with the fact that the American female of teenage years, and I've heard you express this before, is in love with a singing group and is not in love really with you or with our fighting men and women or with the, let's just say, the more important people. Is that a fair thing to say?
I believe it is, Mr. Henry, and it always has been at the very heart of the problem that I got when we are called to go to a war, and you're waiting, like any, I think, fighting man would be waiting to get, you know, a little send-off gift or however you want to put it. I don't want to be crude or anything, but, you know, I'm just as human as the next guy, and if I'm going to go to war... And, you know, I mean, like the movie said, you know, my word is poontang, you know, and...
Okay, all right, no, I understand that. You haven't been sent off to war yet, though.
No, sir, I haven't, but, yeah, I mean, okay, no, I have not, so what does that mean? So I'm going to sit here on a Friday night, and I'm playing, you know, Halo, or I'm playing, you know, World of Warcraft, and meanwhile, all the teen females in America are... At the mall, getting the autograph of One Direction, and I'm thumbing it on a Friday night. You know
what? What does that mean? Thumbing it on a Friday night?
He's talking about.
If you could watch your, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, sir.
Talking about masturbation? Is that it?
Well, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to. If you had me, I mean, if nobody knew what it meant, I could have said it, and no one knew what it meant, but now everyone knows what it meant, and now see how you kind of butchered that up?
Yeah, all right, I'll run my show my way, if you don't mind. We're talking with R.C. Collins, 855-500-7445, as we discuss the group One Direction. And now, they've got a movie premiere happening tonight, and it says here, and I'm just reading from the story, a crowd of screaming fans has greeted boy band One Direction as it gathered in London's Leicester Square, where its first feature film is getting its world premiere. Some slept there overnight to stake out a spot near the red carpet on Tuesday evening. One Direction, This Is Us, is a 3D documentary by Super Size Me director Morgan Spurlock. It's a backstage look at the band, which was formed on Simon Cowell's TV talent show The X Factor in 2010. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, see, The X Factor still knows how to find great talent.
Well, Mr. Henry, can I...
Go ahead.
I mean, that's all great for Simon Cowell and The X Factor, but I'm not here to talk about some guy making billions and billions on the backs of our women. And he's a British guy, too. You know, so the British are making billions and billions on the backs of our women. And
this is not about the British, though, is it? Is it just about the fact that these are young guys that are not in uniform?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. You're right. I don't want to make it about... But I think that... I won't say it's about the British, because they're good allies of ours in the war on terrorism. But I'm going to say that it is about our women showing loyalty to us, and the fact that if I'm going to go off to fight in a war, my word's poontang. And
well, could you not keep saying that, man?
Well, Phil, he's encouraged by you.
Take it easy for just a second. Don't keep saying that.
Mr. Henry, that's a very military thing to say, you know?
I know, it's from the movie Full Metal Jacket, I understand, but you don't need to keep saying that, man, because I think it's going to cause me some problems with my audience. I think what you're saying basically is before you go off to fight, you'd like to be with a woman.
Yes, sir. I think that pretty much sums it up. And I think a lot of the guys, hey, what do you think? There's a lot of guys here with me. Cadet Watson is here, and I know you've spoken to him. Mr. Henry, if it's okay, can I ask him a question?
Sure.
Hey, Cadet Watson, what do you think?
I'm personally in favor of doing whatever it takes, you know. I have to do what I've got to do.
But I mean, if we go off to war, don't you want to get up close and personal on something?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having that on me on a Friday night. Keep me warm.
And a lot of the women that are out seeing one direction, ain't they supposed to be with us on account of the uniform that we wear?
I think so. I think the only right thing to do is be with us. They're out there with these little boys. Hey, you want to be with a boy, okay. You want to be with a man, come on. Come see me.
Yeah, word up on that. The rest of you guys feel the same way?
Yeah.
So we're lean, mean fighting machines. And
all right, no, hold on for a minute. So I heard Cadet Watson say that, if we go off to fight a war, and I think that that's a very, very admirable, and I should say admirable.
What is admirable about our young men taking advantage of a woman and...
I'm sorry, I said that's a very understandable, is what I meant to say, a very understandable point of view. What war are you guys going off to fight in? You understand?
Well, it's a good question. Let me get Cadet Watson back here. Come here. Hey, Watson, come here. Hey, what war are you going off to fight in, man?
Michael Martin. Tear his head off, crap down his neck.
Yeah, Watson's going to go find Michael Myers.
Yeah, okay, that's real great, but what real war are you guys going to fight in?
Let's know what real war. I mean, Mr. Henry, that's to Cadet Watson, that's a real war.
Give me that. Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
I want to go find Michael Myers and tear his head off. And Halloween, I saw him, and that one guy almost kicked his ass. And I could kick his ass, you know? And
Michael Myers, the movie bad guy, is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking the guy in Halloween.
Yeah, Michael Myers, the guy in Halloween.
Right. I could kick his ass, and all I want is a chance.
Well, he's in a movie, man. He's not real.
Yeah, okay. You say he's not real. Good for you.
Tell me, what about Jason Voorhees? Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees the same way. I'll hold him underwater until he drowned, and I know... People don't think that Jason Voorhees can drown. I'd drown his ass, okay? I'd take that hockey mask off, and I'd cut his head off, man. I'd stick it on my...
Yeah!
All right, and we might as well do the whole... Just, you know, that's Friday the 13th, and what about... there's Friday the 13th, there's Jason... what about Freddy?
Who?
Freddy.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
No way, man. He's a punk. He's a punk. He's a punk.
Okay, so Freddie's a punk. RC,
give me the phone. Yeah?
Okay, so what I've got here are two guys, and I know your other cadet friends are there. You guys are talking about ripping off Michael Myers' head, cutting off Jason Voorhees' head, and mounting it on the hood of your car, and all of that is well and good. But so what we have here are guys in a military academy reduced to thinking about kicking ass on movie boogeymen, while the young women of America are out admiring, you know, One Direction. I mean, I don't see where there's any competition for One Direction yet.
Are you kidding me? Hey, get the I don't smoke cigarettes, Mr. Because they're in my dad's car. Are you kidding me or something? I mean, we're talking about kicking ass on a guy that was in a mental institution.
The guy's not real, man. He's in a movie.
No, I understand that, Mr. Henry. We understand that, but we're expressing the need, you know...
Hold on for just a minute so we can take this break here on behalf of our very fine sponsors. Thank you very much, R.C. Collins and Cadet. We'll be right back with the guys as they talk here about wanting to kick ass on Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees. The question that I have is, that's not competition for One Direction. That ain't going to happen, guys. You're just not going to get the interest of America's young women while they're out singing their songs and you guys are trying to hunt up Freddie. No way. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the News Talk and Underline Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Laughs, too. Truth is our bitch, but funny is her sister.
Get a date with her sister.
Yeah, okay, fine. Thank you. And on the line with us is our very good friend here, R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy, as we talk with him about... We talk with them here about one dimension, kind of an interesting topic to have with guys from a military academy. And yet, it's exactly the kind of topic that we want to cover with these guys, because you guys are very, very vocal with the idea that young women who give their allegiance and their love and their this and their that to groups like this are sort of betraying America's fighting men. Now, I want to ask you something. You guys know that, you're in high school primarily, right, R.C.?
Well, I mean, yes, sir. I mean, we're in a college preparatory school.
Okay, you're in a college preparatory high school. So you got a lot to learn. Don't you think that at the bottom line, at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, everyone say it, that the loyalty that any woman has is to the man she loves and to a man that she is comfortable with and familiar with.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, yeah, I guess, but that's the kind of thing. Watson wants to say something.
Mr. Henry, that's the kind of thing they say to you when they're trying to yank your chain.
Yeah, that's chain yanking time, you know.
They're trying to, trying to thumb it.
That's thumbing it.
Well, you know what? I'm not trying to yank anybody's chain. Wait just a second. I'm talking to R.C., okay?
I'm just saying. Okay.
Okay, I'll talk to him. See, he's all upset now. I mean, all he said was...
Well, I'm sorry that he's upset. I'm talking to you.
But all he said was he wanted to go rip, Michael Meyer, kick his ass. You know, and why is that a bad thing?
Because the guy doesn't exist. And I think that you guys need to be concentrating your angst, your anger, your aggression, your focus... on real enemies of the country and prepare for that.
I mean, to fine. But, I mean, we're the ones that are...
Are we going to thumb it on a Friday?
He didn't want you to say that.
Tell him I don't care about him thumbing it on a Friday night. All right, let's go to Gene here in Wichita. Gene, you're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins and Cadet Watson and the rest of them. Gene, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Yes, sir, we're good. We're good.
Great. Hey, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking that maybe you don't have you don't have the experience that I have and others have in the military. I was in the United States Army for 4 years, and all that time, I can assure you that I never came across Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees or any of them, but I come across in training, combat and combat theater situations dealing with real enemies of the United States. And I think that's what you have to focus on with your trainers and teachers there, instead of y'all looking around for these boogeymen like Mr. Henry was saying.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, but it's not enough because... there's girls that want to sleep with One Direction.
Hey, I don't know anything about One Direction or anything like that. My understanding is that some teeny bopper group? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
You know, that don't mean nothing. You can't get hung up on that. You know, civilians are going to look and enjoy whatever they enjoy. And that's their right. And you got to focus on your job, which is protecting people in this country from the country's enemies. And I just think it's stupid. I heard the one guy there say he wants to rip off Michael Myers' head. Son, why don't you spend more time tearing off the head of something that, a real man has a head, not a fake guy?
Well, I mean, Michael Myers is real in the sense that he represents the reality of it.
What are you talking about, man? It doesn't represent anything other than a fake guy. As far as I know. I saw Michael Myers. I've seen him in movies. He's not real. He's scary in the movie.
Well, you got to admit he's scary to the people in the movie.
So what? So he's scary to the people in the movie. They ain't real either. I'm talking about real enemies of America. I don't care. You could tear off the head of 1,000 Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees and anybody you want to name, and that don't make you, that doesn't get you anywhere closer to learning the things you need to learn to be a member of the United States military and to protect the people of this country. So.
Well, I respect that, sir, on account of you were in the military, but I think you missed the point of what we're dealing with.
No, I didn't miss no point at all.
All right, thanks very much, Gene. I think, you know, Galen Shaw? Yeah, General Galen Shaw is a guy that you guys need to talk to.
We talked to Galen Shaw and many times, and the general's a good man, but, you know, he still doesn't, for my money, doesn't understand any better than the other guy about the actual, real, concrete fear that you feel when you think about getting into a fist fight with a Michael Myers in a public latrine. Well.
Yeah, okay. Tell you what, Harvey Wireman, who's the commandant of Bradley Military Academy, is joining us here on our newsmaker line, and Commandant Wireman wanted to weigh in on this because these are your guys, Commandant, and they're the ones that you're going to be graduating into the military.
Well, you know, and good evening, Cadet.
Good evening, sir.
The young men that we have at Bradley Military Academy are designed, and we pick them from the finest families in the state of California and surrounding environs. We want young go-getters. We want hell-raisers and life-takers. And we want heartbreakers and life-takers. And we want them to... go out and kill and everything like that. So if a young man is motivated by the image of some guy in a rubber... with a fake rubber head on, this is what we have to use. You know, Mr. Henry, we're not at war 24-7, thank God, knock wood. We are at war only when we're at war, and when we're not at war, we have to contend with the day-to-day and the boring aspect of being in the military.
All right, but...
Hold on, no, I'm not finished yet. Now, I would say to this cadet or any young man who's under the tutelage and command of our structure here at Bradley Military Academy that if you find your enemy with a rubber head and this Michael Myers cadet, give me the thumbnail sketch on him, please.
Yes, sir. Michael Myers escaped from a mental institution and is about 6'5" and is built like a like a prize fighter with a rubber mask.
Right, so he's formidable, and I would say.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. We had just a little bit of a glitch. We apologize. We're back. We're in full force, in full throat. Our number is 855-500-7455, and we were in the midst of a conversation here with Harvey Wireman from Bradley Military Academy, because we were talking with you, Commandant Wireman, about the kinds of young men that you have there, and about what it is you expect from them at that school. You've been listening to your young guys saying that while the females of America are digging on One Direction, your guys want to go out and kick ass on Michael Myers, who doesn't even exist.
Yeah, I understand he doesn't exist. I get that, and the young men, they get that. But what they're trying to do is get amped up. They want to get juiced up and ready to rock and roll at the drop of a hat against the enemies of the United States of America. Now, these young guys tonight are talking about this one dimension or one direction, you said, right?
One Direction, yeah.
All right. I don't know who. I wouldn't know these kids if I stepped over them and they were dead in the streets. It wouldn't make any difference to me either. But if I were the parents of One Dimension or Direction, I would sit these boys down and I'd say to them, I don't know who or what you think you are and where you think you're going dressed like that. But if you're some kind of a rock band, then you better damn well be heterosexual. Now...
All right, okay, I understand. I'm talking about the guy...
No, I'm getting to my guys. I'm just trying to tell you. Now, my young men, they're not going to get angry at five guys that are dancing and prancing and whatever they do. I don't want them getting angry at them. And I certainly don't want them getting angry at the young women for not doing the right thing, which would be for them to get, you know, next to my guys and you know, give them a Friday night they'll remember. But I guess not, so that's just the way that goes. What I would rather my young men do is get themselves ready to go and tear the heart out of the enemies of America, spill their guts, wade through their blood like it's a swimming pool, swim in the blood of the enemy as if they're out in the middle of a beautiful Caribbean bay on a sunny day, and...
Okay, I understand, sir.
Yeah, you get the feeling.
Yeah, I get the feel. This is taking me further and further away from where I want to go here, which is the question. These guys fantasizing about kicking Michael Myers' ass has nothing to do with real combat.
Oh, well, are you telling me? I happen to be the commandant. I'll say what's best for my guys. Do you mind if I do that?
Commandant Wireman.
Excuse me, do you mind if I do that? I don't see anything, I don't see any bars, I don't see any lieutenant or captain's bars on you.
Yeah, that's right, Commandant. He's been telling me what to do the whole hour, too.
See, you're telling my guys what to do? I'm the general, not you. I see you wearing a baseball cap, Henry. That's about as good as it gets for you.
All right, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But you think that this is a proper way of getting your guys ready for war, to be thinking about Michael Myers, and also to be upset that the girls of America are digging on one direction.
Well, maybe they ought to be focusing on one direction. Maybe they ought to be thinking, those guys are the enemy. Those guys have taken the women. They've got the women. Do I have the women? No, it's a Friday night, and I'm thumbing it here on 5th and Main.
Want some water, sir?
Yeah, but how are you going to give it to me? I happen to be three blocks away. I'll get some. That's where Bradley Military is located, Mr. Henry, 5th and Main. That's why we say if you're thumbing it at 5th and Main, brother, you are far away from where you need to be.
Yeah, you need to be taking care of business at 5th and Main.
Right. Take care of it. Don't be thumbing it at 5th and Main. Now, on a Friday night, if any of my guys are thumbing it at 5 and M, I know I got work to do. I got to get their heads out of that. And
get them into kicking Michael Myers' ass.
Yes, in part, yes, if that's what it takes. That's what it takes.
All right, well, Commandant, I appreciate it. I didn't mean to get you angry, sir.
Well, you did. And I like it when you guys say you didn't mean to do this or that. You knew full well what you were doing when you called up. You wanted to get me so angry that I probably would stroke out, didn't you?
No, sir, I did not. No, sir, I did not.
Well.
I don't know, Commandant. Mr. Henry's been leaning on me the whole hour.
Well, you know what, kid? I've been asking you some pretty good questions, and these are questions you ought to be asking them too, Commandant. I appreciate your time. I got to go.
All right, well, listen, we're having a car wash to benefit.
All right, thank you very, very much for that. Thank you, R.C. Collins. It was great to have you on the line, but I get the general drift of that whole scene.
Well, what is this? I don't understand Michael Myers. Is that the Halloween?
Yeah, it's the boogeyman from Halloween.
Yeah, Michael Myers... All on account of you've seen him get his ass kicked.
He saw Michael Myers get his ass kicked in one of those Rob Zombie movies, and he thinks he can do it.
When did Michael Myers ever get his ass kicked?
No, he didn't get his ass kicked. He almost got his ass kicked.
Yeah, he almost got his ass kicked in the Rob Zombie movie. That's what it looked like to me, is he almost got his ass kicked by that attendant.
Yeah, the one guy almost did it.
I mean, he wound up killing that guy, but that's as close as I've ever seen Michael Myers to getting his ass fully kicked. Was in the Rob Zombie version of Halloween. It was pretty good. I mean, you know, if you think about it, that's the first time in any Halloween movie where you had this stark reality of this fist fight that's going on in this bathroom at this mental institution. And these two guys are huge. You know, the Michael Myers character is this huge guy. He's big in the arms, the chest, and he's, you know, like 6'5". And this guy that works at the mental institution is also this big guy. And so they're having this knockdown, drag-out fight. They're banging each other's heads against the steel stall separators, and they're banging each other's heads against the tile. And there was one point in the fight where this guy almost had the good, he almost had the better of Michael Myers. He was beating his ass. And,
well, you don't really think any, I don't care if it is Rob Zombie, you don't think he's going to let it go at that and have the...
No, I knew, you knew he was going to lose the fight, but I thought it was fun. I thought it was a nice, fun twist on the movie to see this, at least one character, one human character, have a moment of control and you know, close to triumph over Michael Myers. But he didn't, you know, it didn't last, and he came back, and there was. I thought that movie was pretty good, but...
Well, I don't want to talk about Michael Myers and Halloween. I think what we need to talk about, though... is the phenomenon of one dimension and or one direction. And I have here a story that I wrote up. Can you see that?
Margaret, don't put it in my face. Get it out of my face, will you?
Can you see it?
Yeah, yes. When you press it up against my nose, yes, I can see it. It's a little blurred.
Well, I wanted to make sure.
So in any event, some slept there overnight to stake out a spot near the red carpet on Tuesday evening. One Direction, This Is Us, the 3D documentary by Super Size Me director Morgan Spurlock, is a backstage look at the band, which formed on Simon Cowell's TV talent show.
You said tant show.
Yeah, what's that pants show?
What?
You said on Simon Cowell's TV pants show.
TV, I was going to say dance show, it's talent show.
Well, why did you say pants?
I didn't say pants.
I thought that
I... In any event, Simon Cowell's TV talent show, the X... What sense would that make, his pants show?
They pants you.
Some show that they would pants you on. I don't know. You're the one that said it.
Yeah, hey, Simon, if you're listening, man...
Phil, don't make a big deal out of it.
No. It's if you're listening, man, here's a great idea. Have a show where people get pantsed. Why not? You know...
Don't be an ass.
Well, you're the one that brought it up, you and, you know, Mr. Dickman here. So I'm just trying to go with it. In any event, the five-piece group has gone on to top charts around the world and has amassed a diehard army of fans known as Directioners. This is unreal, said band member Harry Styles. Are these cats in a band? Do they play instruments or are they a vocal group? One Direction, This Is Us, opens in Britain on August the 29th and in the United States August 30th.
I think they are from England. You know why? Because that guy's named Harry Styles. There's no American kid named Harry.
No American kid named Harry.
That's a very good point. There's no contemporary. These boys are how old? Let's say they're 20. So we go back 20 years to 19. They were born in 1993, let's say. If you look at the top names of boys in 1993 in the United States, Harry was not there. However, where do you find people named Harry left and right? In England.
Yeah, because they got Prince Harry and everything.
Okay, so they got Prince Harry. Good. I didn't, you know, fine. That's a very good deduction there, Robert. Thank you.
Yeah, I figured that too.
Good for you. One Direction, This Is Us, opens in Britain on August 29th and in the United States on August the 30th. Man, I have one of our followers, one of my followers on Twitter, who's a huge, huge fan of our show. A young lady in Waco, Texas, she's a major One Direction fan, man. I would say that, I'll give you her first name is Gigi. Do you know her?
Yes, I've seen some of the tweets that she does. She's got a lot of those One Direction tweets.
Yeah. I would say that the two biggest things in her life in terms of the world of entertainment are One Direction and our show. Now, that's got to be a first. I mean, if there's anybody else... If there are any other, anybody, male or female, any age, and the two best things in your life when it comes to entertainment are us and One Direction, I would love to know, I would love to know that you're out there. But anyway, she's a great lady, and we talk to her all the time, myself, Barry Louise, a lot of people do, and she's always rapping about the show, and then when she's not talking to me about the show, she's got One Direction going left and right, man.
One Direction left and right, you get it?
Yeah, that's real great.
That was funny.
Thank you. But in any event, she's talking about these cats like there's no tomorrow, man, and over on Instagram, like every freaking picture. But, I mean, that's the phenomenon, you know? And it ain't never going to change, man, as long as the world is the world, you know? As long as there are, you know, as long as there's music, as long as there's a way for people to hear the music, it's just always going to be like that. There's always going to be some group, some band. And watch how fast, man. I think it's going to be interesting. Watch how fast this group, unless they have some kind of staying power like, you know, like the Beatles had, you know. That will be interesting to see. All right, guys, we are going to see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the Pacific Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Peace out. Thank you. Visit us at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Later.
Yeah, later on.